Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Come on, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been in a teaching that I have entitled, The Power of the Cross. The Power of the Cross. One of the main things that we are pulling from this and that I want you to learn from this is I want you to have and to develop a fresh appreciation of the cross. To develop a fresh appreciation of the cross. Why is this so important? I've been making this statement in all of the sessions, and I'm going to make it again today. Many believers today are living as if the cross did not make any difference. Now, let that sink in. Now, we're in this season of the passion of Jesus, the resurrection. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. And we love the resurrection, and we should. And we know that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. We know that God forgave us for our sins on the cross. We know that he got up for us. All of that is good. But we have to begin seeing more of what occurred at the cross that the resurrection made a reality. But it came by way of the cross. See, for example, before I read, just think about this. When you have a relative, parent, uncle, aunt, whoever, and they have left you in their will, they have left you an inheritance. When do you get it? When they die. When they die. When Jesus died, certain things took place. Bam! The resurrection was about he came alive to show us how to live in it. But it occurred on that cross. So let's read the scripture, and then we'll dive off into this. Everyone say this at first. Say, Holy Spirit,
help me
to have a fresh appreciation of the cross. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, last verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to look at this. We've said a lot of things already in this teaching series. One of the things that I learned, even when I'm teaching this and preaching this, I re-listen to a lot of the sermons, because my brothers and sisters, I never want to think, and I never do, that I've arrived. No, I'm still reaching. I'm still hungering. I'm still pulling. And so I want what the Spirit of God is releasing through me. I want that upon me. I want that alive to me. I want that to, my key word is transform me. Transformation. I'm not satisfied till I'm transformed. How do I know if transformation has taken place? By how I operate in circumstances in life. What am I able to call for? I'll never forget this. When I wasn't even in ministry yet, I don't think. Maybe I was a young minister, just acknowledged my call. I'm not sure. Back in Fort Worth. But I remember the adult Sunday school class asked me to become the adult teacher. My pastor, who was my spiritual father at that time, back in Fort Worth, he wanted me over the juniors, the boys, the juniors class, because he wanted me to be an influence to those young men because he saw my spiritual hunger. Well, in our church, back in Fort Worth, we would vote. We'd pick a Sunday and vote for the teachers. Of course, the adults went first, and they voted for me. They wanted me to become their teacher, not just of the men's class, but they wanted to combine men and women. Everybody was shocked. My pastor looked at me and said, well, they want you, so I got to let you go over here. One of the times I was teaching on faith in the Sunday school class, and I told the people, I said, you have to always exercise your faith. I said, what happens many times with many Christians is we think we know it all. And that's what he was talking about here when he said in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Another translation talked about their cleverness. We think we're so clever that we know how to make our lives work. I can do this without God. So I was teaching the class, and I said to them, I said, because the Spirit of God gave me this faith example. And I said, let's do a test to see where your faith is. And they said, you can do that? Now, I had never done it before, but God led me. I said, let's believe God for $5 by next Sunday. I said, no, even though you can have it in your bank account, no, that $5 will come to you unexpectedly through a channel you're not aware of. Not that you're getting paid on your job or anything like that. Not that you're going to ask your parent or a friend for it. That God is going to, let's see where your faith is. And I told them, this is how you exercise your faith. I said, for a lot of Christians, they wait till something happens and then they say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Well, the class took the challenge. And this was a pretty large Sunday school class that I had. Out of that Sunday school class, only two people received $5 in 7 days. Myself and one other person in the class. So you know what the rest of the Christians started saying? Oh, Pastor, well, not Pastor Mark. I don't know if I was a minister then, or they say Minister Mark or Brother Mark. Oh, that don't mean anything. We still believe God. I said, I'm not saying you didn't believe God. I said, what you have now learned about is you've learned the strength of your faith. Most Christians don't exercise their faith to keep it strong. They wait till something happens. Now they want to use it for something big and wonder why it don't work. It's just like in the natural. If you don't use your muscles, when the time comes that you got to pick up something, you're not going to be as strong as you thought. Faith has to be exercised. Faith has to be exercised. So your faith in the power of the cross has to be exercised. That's why the power of the cross must be, number one, access. I got to access it. What did Jesus make available to me? I have to access it. I have to receive it. Number two, the power of the cross must be activated. I got to call it forth. I got to make a demand on it. Number one is access. Number two, activated. Number three, the power of the cross must be appropriated. Amen. I got to see myself through that and now walk in alignment with it regardless of what's going on around me. And then number four, the power of the cross must be authorized. That's where you apply it by authority in the name of Jesus. So those four, again, are the power of the cross must be, number one, accessed. Accessed. I got to receive it. Amen. Jesus had his death on the cross opened up a door for me. So now I got to access it. I always tell you all this. The things of God don't fall on you like leaves that fall off of a tree. You got to go get them. So I got to go get my healing. I got to access it. I got to go get my soundness of mind. I got to go get my peace of mind. I got to go get my strength. I got to go get my vitality. I got to go get my provision. Everyone say, I have to access it. Number two, it has to be activated. Amen. It has to be activated. I do that by faith. I activate it. Faith is released with words confirmed by my actions and established with my thoughts. Amen. So it has to be accessed. It has to be activated. And then it has to be appropriated. This is where I align myself up with it. And I don't veer to the right or to the left. No, regardless of the storm that's around me, regardless of contradictory circumstances that I may have to face, I'm going to appropriate the power of the cross and understand that I'm not in this life alone. Then finally, it has to be authorized. In other words, applied to a situation or to my life with authority. I got to apply this authority. Amen. Now, let me show you. Look back at the scripture that we just read. And he said in verse 24, but unto them, let's start at verse 18, I'm sorry. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Come on. Then he talks about destroying the wisdom of the wise. In other words, their smartness, their own cleverness. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I want you to see this, how important this is. Flip over, keep a marker there, 1 Corinthians 1. Flip over to Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, everyone say the preaching of the cross. Now, let me show you, because see, the power of the cross is in that preaching. It talked about the power of the cross, and it talked about his wisdom being in that power. Look at this in Luke 4:18. Let me show you how important preaching is. Now, this is where the adversary and psychology, philosophy, all of that try to attack you and make you feel like that the preaching aspect means nothing to your life, that you can get through life and you don't need the preaching. But it is God who established this. He called it that the world looks at it as foolishness. Look at Luke 4. Look at verse 18. Now, this is Jesus talking, and Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to," come on,
"preach the gospel
to who?
The poor."
The poor. Now, here's my question. Let's stop. Why? If I went to a poor man and I preached to him, he's going to say, no, give me some money. Why did the Holy Spirit have to come upon Jesus and anoint him for the spirit of poverty in a person's life, and all he did was preach to him? You got to see this. Because if you're not careful, all this teaching that I've been doing in this series, you'll let it go by. And you don't understand what took place. It's the preaching where he was releasing the anointing that will deliver them from what they were stuck in. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You're going to have to maintain the value of the preached word, the taught word, because that's what God wants, where he wants you to catch the power at. Watch this. Watch this. So flip over to, Matthew 11. Look at Matthew 11. Stay with me now. I just want to show you this portion because I don't want you to to give in to dismissing these moments where God has you, where he's saturating you with the teaching of the word, and you think nothing is happening. Don't bring this down to a religious church service. That's why I always tell you, when we come together, you got to think, I'm being empowered.
Amen.
I'm being empowered. Get out of this, because a lot of us, we've been going to church for a long time. And if we're not careful, we'll just make it our religious duty. No, I'm being empowered. Everyone should say that. Say, I'm being empowered.
I'm being empowered.
And then you have to understand that when I'm coming to church and I'm sitting in these sessions, in these services, I'm being equipped. What am I being equipped for? Victory.
Amen.
What am I being equipped for? To walk in and operate at next level. What is next? What does next level look like for you? You're being equipped for it. I'm being equipped. And then I'm being elevated. Everyone saying,
I'm being empowered.
I'm being equipped.
And I'm being elevated.
But see, you have to build your expectation. Because if you're not used to this, and many of us are not, if you're not used to this, what will happen is it'll just be rhetoric. No, you want it to become reality. Okay, look at Matthew 11. You got it? Watch this. Matthew 11. Let's start at verse 2. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now everyone look up here, look up here, look up here, look up here, look up here. John baptized Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he saw the dove descending upon him. Mm-hmm. He saw that. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. But now he's in doubt. Why? Because his circumstance now, a contradictory circumstance, he's in jail. He wasn't expecting that. He was expecting, like many of you do, you come to church, you get a word, and you say, oh man, I'm ready now. I'm ready to slap a bear to start a fight. But then when you walk out of here, you don't slap that bear, and the fight you thought you were ready for, it didn't turn out like you thought. And so now you feel challenged. John was given into the circumstance. He sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? Wait a minute, John, you baptized him. You saw the dove descending. You declared out of your mouth, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What happened to your faith declaration? I come to ask you today, what has happened to your faith declaration? Are you as convinced as you were? Or have you allowed time to talk you out of it? See, when you understand the power of the cross, you stay hooked up and connected. Because you know what happened on that cross happened to me, and it happened for me. Amen.
Amen.
So look at this. Look at this. Are you the one who should come, or should we look for another? Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John, everyone say again, those things which you do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight. Everyone say supernatural activity.
Supernatural activity.
And the lame walk. Come on, say supernatural activity. The lepers are cleansed. Come on, say supernatural activity.
Supernatural activity.
And the deaf hear. Come on, say supernatural activity.
Supernatural activity.
The dead are raised up. Come on, say supernatural activity.
Supernatural activity.
And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Come on, say supernatural activity.
Supernatural activity.
That's what the preaching is. But you have to appreciate what you're hearing. You got to value it. Look at this list. Lame people walking, lepers being cleansed, deaf hearing, dead are being raised up, and the poor have the gospel. He put all of that in that same supernatural category. And that's what you have to learn. So when Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 1, go back there. When he talked about this, that's why he talked about God destroying the foolishness of the wise. So let me remind you of something I said to you that you have to understand. We have to understand that there is a perception of the cross that we must catch. Remember, I told you this. Number one, we must catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. We must catch that perception. I'm using the word perception. You can easily say revelation. Catch the perception or the revelation of the value of the cross. Listen, if I catch that revelation, that perception, watch this, of the value of the cross, then there is nothing that could happen to me on earth that I would allow to devalue me. Not some negative opinion from a person. Y'all remember my teaching, that message on you have nothing to prove?
Yeah.
I want to encourage y'all to listen to it again. You have nothing to prove to nobody else. Watch this. And you don't even have nothing to prove to yourself. And then watch this, and you get delivered from this. You don't have to prove to God that you deserve to be blessed. He already wants to bless us.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to prove to God that I want to be healed. He already wants to heal you. You don't have to prove to God that you want to be successful. You don't have to prove to God anything. You have nothing to prove. So when you capture the value or the catch the perception or the revelation of the value of the cross, you'll understand that his dying on the cross, that power empowered my value and it never changes. That's what I want you to understand. And right now, if truth be told, many of us, because I still have to resist it. I got to resist it. Trying to get my value from what people may think of me. I got to resist that. What preachers may think of me. What my peers may think of me. What the congregation may think of me. That's why when preachers go to somebody else's church, they perform, there's a performance. Because they're getting their value from the response. No, you don't have nothing to prove. And what I'm saying to you is this: stop looking for your value in the applause of others. Get out of that. But you got to stop lying to yourself. You got to stop lying to yourself. So you have to catch the perception of and the revelation of knowing the value of the cross. Number two, you got to catch the perception of knowing. And again, when I say perception, I mean revelation. Catch the perception, revelation of knowing the victory of the cross. What was obtained for me? Capture that victory of the cross. And then three. You got to catch the perception of knowing the virtue of the cross. This is where it gave birth to a courageousness within me. I don't have to live in defeat no more. I don't have to accept loss anymore. I understand that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for me, and in dying for me, He made me worthy for a, watch this, much more lifestyle. That's one phrase. Cheryl had heard me preach that in one of these sessions, and she has caught that thing. She walked around the house, I'm expecting much more. A much more lifestyle. Much more in every area, and keep calling it. It gives you this courage. Let's give you this courage. Let's go to chapter 2 real quick. Glory to God. Watch this. Paul writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," I'm at verse 1, "came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God," or we can say the preaching of the cross, For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everyone say the power of the cross. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, I pointed out to you already in this series that he's still talking about the power of the cross, because in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, go back, look at it. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's the preaching of the cross. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to bring you to this place where you will appreciate the cross more. Yes, we're glad that Jesus got off the cross. Yes. But it doesn't stop there. You got to understand why he got off and what occurred before he got off for you and I, so that it'll change your life forever. There is a, put this down in your notes, there is a seeing that is important. Everyone say, I got to see something.
I got to see something.
I got to see something from this cross. The cross is not just an event. The cross is a lifestyle. There is a seeing. Number two, there is a hearing in the spirit that's important. There is a seeing from what took place that is important. I got to capture. That's what I talked about, catching this perception. Everybody with me? And then there is a hearing. There is a hearing in the spirit that is important. There is a hearing. So number one, there is a seeing. Number two, there is a
hearing.
And then number three, there is an understanding. There is an understanding. Because of this perception of the cross that we must catch, you got to understand that there's something God wants me to see that will impact and affect how I live. Yes, the cross provided me forgiveness. God has forgiven me. But it much more took place. Yes, the cross provided reconciliation. Yes, it did. So that's why I told you, remember this already, that we talked about, I said that, glory to God. The cross speaks of, this should be in your notes already, the cross speaks of relationship. Everyone say relationship.
Relationship.
The cross speaks of restoration. Come on, say it.
Restoration.
The cross speaks of redemption. Come on.
Redemption.
The cross speaks of reconciliation. Come on.
Reconciliation.
And the cross speaks of reigning.
Yes.
Now, we looked at this already about relationship. And I asked you, I said, now, which relationship are you having with God? Are you having a relationship where you're trying to be accepted by God? You want to do this, do that, because you want God to be pleased with you? So that's why you pray long hours. That's why you read the Bible and all like that. No. I have to understand that the relationship that I am to have with God is, I am to relate to God from a place of justification. He has justified me on that cross. All right? I have to relate to God from the place of what Jesus has already done for me. What Jesus did for us, he did it on that cross.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
That's the relationship. Then number two, we talked about that the cross speaks of restoration. And so you have to develop a restoration mentality. And a restoration mentality processes life differently. Say amen.
Amen.
When I develop a restoration mindset or a restoration mentality, watch this, I'll have a restoration perspective. Listen, so now, when I have a restoration perspective, I can no longer accept loss because I understand he'll restore. You'll view life differently. I will no longer accept defeat. Why? Because if it's losing, if it seems like I'm losing, then it just must be halftime. Because he always causes me to win. He always causes me to triumph. He always gives me the victory. Are you following me?
Yeah.
You won't stop there. When you have a restoration mentality, you won't accept closed doors as your end. You won't give in when people say no, because you understand your yes is out there. Everyone say, I have
a restoration mentality.
So you'll have this restoration perspective, this restoration attitude, this restoration awareness, and this restoration view. That's what I want y'all to have, to begin viewing your life through this restoration mindset, because the cross speaks of restoration. Glory to God.
Amen.
So when I have this restoration mentality, real quick, I begin seeing things through God's eyes and not through any pain I'm feeling. When I have this restoration mentality, I'll begin seeing things through God's love and not through any void or emptiness I may be feeling. I got to ask you this question. When does God love you?
All the time.
Now here's the question. Do you act like you're loved by God all the time? That's the key. That's the key. Because if you act like you're loved by God all the time, you never have to beg him. You never have to plead with him. Now, it says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Y'all look at it. Y'all got to look at it. Look at it. Come on, come on. Quick. Matthew 7, verse 11. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Mm-hmm. Everyone say, the much more lifestyle.
The much more lifestyle.
That's what this restoration mentality will produce that comes from the power of the cross. It has given you a restoration mentality. Look at verse 11. Look at that verse again. Y'all got it? Matthew 7, verse 11?
Yes.
How many parents in here know how to give good gifts to their children? All of us. All of us. And God says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, listen, and you ask yourself, am I living like this? How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How often do we ask God and we really don't know if we're going to get it? Is that love? Now, ask my kids. Now, my kids are adults. Y'all know that. And I train them this way. If I tell you I'm going to do something, you're supposed to take me at my word and not come back and ask me, are you going to do it? I used to teach them. There's one right there. That should tell you. I would tell them. So Renee would always tell the other two, don't ask him. You know what he already said. Because God was showing me how to teach them how to believe him. And I wanted them to know, I already love you. We told them when they was growing up, we said, we already love you. There's nothing you can do that's going to cause us to love you more. We already love you. So you don't have to try to be good. And watch this. No matter how much we told them that, Chris, they still tried to do things through effort because they gained their value from the applause, even though they had our applause already. And once they grew and matured to the place of knowing I'm already accepted, it set them free. It set them free. They ask, don't think nothing of it. So that void isn't there anymore. And all I'm trying to tell you is this. All I'm trying to tell you is this. You have to get to this place where you stop guessing with God, will he do it for me? If you understand the power of the cross, you understand he has to do it because of what was done on that cross for me. Look at Romans 8:32. Come on, look at Romans 8:32. I'm going to go ahead and quote it for you. You get there because I want you to see it. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Come on. Get confidence from this verse. Get courage from it. So I shared with them Thursday night. I shared this. I said, and I'm just about done, y'all. But I want you to see this. And I didn't get where I want to, but I believe I needed to just capture your awareness. And I said this. I said, Lord God, I'm asking you today. This was a prayer of mine. And I was talking to him about this. I said, Lord, there's a lot of people today who claim to know the scriptures, but their own lives are calling them a liar. And so I said this, watch this. I said, the life that they are living is calling them a liar. And they said they know the scriptures. So I asked them, Lord, is my life calling me a liar? I want to be able to access everything Jesus purchased for me on that cross. I want to appropriate that in my life. I don't want to settle. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to, but when it's time for me to get to heaven, I don't want to be told in heaven, Mark, on earth, you left all of this here available and you didn't access it and believe me for it. So I asked him that. I said, Father, am I as productive as the word says I should be? Am I as productive as the word says? Am I receiving from you everything the word says that you've made available for me? I said, I don't want my life to be a lie. Then I asked, I said, Lord, is my life producing what Jesus paid for me to have on the cross? Now, I want y'all to write that question down real quick. Come on, real quick. Because I want you to look at it after you leave here. I want you to look at it in the middle of the week. Here's the question. Is my life producing what Jesus paid for me to have on the cross? Is my life producing what Jesus paid for me to have on the cross? Glory to God. Wow. I'll say it for y'all. Wow. Is my life, say it, producing, come on, what Jesus paid for me to have on the cross? Okay. Glory to God. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Jesus' work at Calvary on that cross produced something for you and I. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at some things that was produced. Because we have to look at it. What does the cross mean to the believer? Then what does the cross mean to God? Well, what the cross meant to God was it fulfilled John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So in God's eyes, he now, because, for example, I have received Christ, in God's eyes and in his heart and mind, he says, Mark's perishing days are over. Mark doesn't have to perish in health. Mark doesn't have to perish in wealth. Mark doesn't have to perish in influence. Mark doesn't have to perish in, because my perishing days are over because of John 3:16. But most Christians only look at that as saved from hell. I call it fire insurance. No, it's more to it than that. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Ephesians 1 and 3. When you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
All right. Read out loud with me. Ready? Let's read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the cross positioned you and I to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Come on, say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
So you got to understand you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, when most folks hear that, they think, well, you know, peace is a spiritual blessing. Joy is a spiritual blessing. No, dear hearts, everything that comes into the earth starts off in the spirit. Everything. So when you see the word, the phrase spiritual blessings, he's talking about spiritual empowerings, because the word blessed means to be empowered. Empowered to prosper, empowered to succeed, empowered to live productively, empowered to live victoriously. So you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And God wants those spiritual blessings to become a reality in your life. Everyone say, because of the cross.
Because of the cross.
All right. Come on. Look at this with me. Ephesians chapter 2 now. Ephesians chapter 2. So he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And that happened on the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, translate and meditate, quickened us together with the anointed one and his anointed, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, the anointed one, Jesus. So are you living like your position in Christ, which is right next to the Father? I've been made to sit there. Or am I living like I'm on the outside looking in? That's the power of the cross. When were you quickened on that cross? He quickened you when Jesus died on that cross. You were made alive on that cross. He took my sins. He took everything, my iniquity. He took my sickness, my disease, my poverty, my broke days, my depressed days, my discouragement. He took all of that on that cross. Look at it again. Come on. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. Everyone say, that's how I used to be.
That's how I used to be.
Hath quickened us together with Christ. Everyone say, this is how I am now. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I just want you to see that verse 6 is the position of authority. And it was the cross that provided this doorway for you and I to step into. Okay, so he has quickened us together with Christ. He has raised us up and made us sit with him in heavenly places in Christ. All right, go with me, go with me. I'm just about done, but I want you to see this. So we have to understand now that the relationship of the cross also speaks of redemption. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to leave here talking your redemption. Go back again to Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 7. Everyone say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
The word redeemed simply means to be paid for, purchased, bought, B-O-U-G-H-T. So he redeemed me. Look at verse 7, Ephesians 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So everyone say, I have redemption.
I have redemption.
Okay, make a note of this verse. You don't have to turn there. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Everything Satan tries to do in your life, you're supposed to speak against and declare your redemption.
Yes.
You are redeemed from certain things, and you're redeemed to certain things. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Let me help you. Galatians 3:13. Go there. You got to go there. And we're going to end right there. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Everyone say, the power of the cross.
Has set me free
to live a victorious life. I've been set free
to live a whole life.
I have been set free
to live a life
of provision,
prosperity,
promotion,
and progress.
God doesn't want us to live, man, stuck in life. That is not God. God don't want you living a life. And so now you're struggling because you feel like, well, I don't know enough. He never did ask you that. Well, I didn't go to school. I didn't go to college. He didn't ask you that. I'm not smart enough. All he simply says is understand what happened for you on the cross and choose to walk in it. Stay locked in because the adversary, the world, sinners, and carnal-minded saints will try to pull you away from that connection. Because if you live victoriously, now your life will become a mirror image of how another believer should live. And if they're not living that way, now they're going to consider you a threat. So you got to stay locked in. Okay, you should be there. Galatians 3:13, right? Watch this. Watch this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Now listen, listen, everyone look up here. If you're redeemed, you can no longer see yourself as cursed. Okay, let me help you. Let me help you. Not only am I not afraid of being cursed by witches, warlocks, incantations, watch this, but I am no longer a failure because I'm redeemed. Failures are man-made. They're not God-made. God never tells a person you're a failure. So, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Everyone say, he was my substitution?
He was my substitution.
On the cross.
On the cross.
Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That wasn't just the promise of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, but it's the promise, every promise the Spirit of God made to Abraham, now we receive. So the curse, threefold curse, the curse was spiritual death, sickness and disease, and poverty, slack and lack. He says, I'm redeemed from spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. So as a believer, you never say, I don't know my purpose. What you mean? You're connected to God. You're connected to the purposes of God, the plans of God. You're connected to the promises of God. So you never talk like that because you are redeemed. Well, I don't know what I'm here for. Don't talk that. See, that's when believers are trying to pull from social media and from society in the world different things that they're saying, and they're looking at that, and they're looking at all these other people's podcasts and all these other, oh, they're starting a makeup line. They're starting a clothes line. They're starting this. Oh, well, what am I doing? I am redeemed. I'm not living in comparison, and I am not living in competition. I'm living in covenant. Everyone said it. I'm living in covenant.
I'm living in covenant.
So I am redeemed. So the curse is spiritual death, separation from God. So I'm no longer separated. I'm connected. That's what we read in Ephesians 2. He quickened me together with Christ. I'm connected with God. You are not by yourself. You got to start thinking redeemed. You are not, listen, alone. You can be a single person, but you are not alone. You're connected with God. Even married folk, you can be in a marriage and feel lonely. You are not alone because you're connected with God. Nobody understands me. I can't explain anything. Don't talk like that. You are redeemed. You're redeemed from sickness and disease. So when sickness and disease come, you have to become more convinced and have this strong resolve to speak your redemption. I shared this testimony with y'all before. I'm in right here. I heard this testimony years ago when I was back in Texas. It marked my life. It marked my life. This teacher, she was an elementary teacher, went to this man of God for prayer. He laid his hands on her. She didn't feel a thing. And after he finished praying, he says, now, woman, you go home and believe God. She said, okay. He said, no, you don't understand. When you go home, every day you tell Jesus that you believed, you received what was done here when I prayed. You tell Jesus he's your healer. You tell cancer that it can't kill you. You speak to your life that you're not dying. He said, you talk it every day. What was he telling her to do? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So she started saying so. Jesus, you're my healer. The Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. Cancer, you can't kill me. I'm not dying today. Because she felt good today. So she kept saying it. Because he told her every day. She kept saying, Jesus, you're my healer. The Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. Cancer, you can't kill me. I'm not dying today. And then it got worse. The cancer got worse. She was bending over, couldn't move. Cancer, barely talking. You can't kill me. The Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. And she held on to it. Now, when I heard this testimony, I started questioning myself. I said, I'm not that serious about my healer. Look at this woman. I came under conviction because as a redeemed, I wasn't saying so, not like that. She couldn't move, and she was lying down, barely talking, laying on one side. That's all she could do. You cancer, you can't kill me. The Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. I'm not dying today. She kept on. All I know is, I believe it was a year later, if the testimony is correct, this man of God came back to her city. This woman came to the meeting. If it wasn't a year, it may have been 2 years. I'm not sure. She went up to him. He said, ma'am, you want prayer? She said, no, I don't need prayer. She said, you don't remember me, do you? No, ma'am, I've never seen you before. Yes, you have. I'm the teacher who had the cancer. She had looked healthy. And she says, I stand here cancer-free because, and she said it, the Lord Jesus Christ is my healer and cancer can't kill me. And I'm not dying today. You told me those words and I took them to heart. That's what happens with many Christians. We're only trying something. We're not making it our reality. Oh, you thank God Jesus isn't on a cross, and you should, but you're not appreciating the value of the cross at another level. You're not appreciating the victory of the cross at another level. You're not appreciating the virtue of the cross at another level. And that woman, that weak woman, that woman with that disease got so courageous, she got her healing. And you know, I'm sure it was some other people in that same service who didn't get healed. Because they didn't go home and did what she did. I wasn't in that church service. I heard that testimony on a cassette tape message. And that woman's testimony, here I am, been in Buffalo over 30 years. I'm still talking her testimony because that woman's testimony marked my thinking how I come after my healing. The Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. I walk the floor. I believe God. Because let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
The cross speaks of that type of relationship that you got to understand, glory to God, that I'm restored, I'm redeemed, I'm reconciled to God, and God expects me to reign. And I'm going to reign. And the next time we're together, I'm going to talk about this reigning business. And you got to understand. And I've been sharing this with us in this season because my brothers and sisters, I heard God at the beginning of this series. He said, raise your level. Raise your game. Step up. Come on up higher and operate at a different level. Now, I don't know about you, but I've declared this. Lord, this is what I say to him. I'm not settling. I'm not settling for this. Then I said, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I said, I'm not satisfied with what I have seen produced from the revelation you've given me. I want more. And I know that there's another depth in what you revealed to me. And I want to go. You got to want to go too. You got to want to be healed. You got to want to be made rich, meaning be abundantly supplied and become a kingdom distribution center for others and make a difference. I'm not satisfied. I got angry the other day. I was looking at a book. And it's a book by one of my spiritual mentors. I've never met him personally. I don't need to meet him personally. But through his messages and through his writings, God has ministered to me and developed me. And so he's a spiritual mentor of mine. I got this book and read it in 2011. Here we are 13 years later. Because I always date my books. I want to see when God is talking to me. And then as I'm reading them, I'm writing down what he's saying to me. And I'm going through this book. I got angry. I said, I'm supposed to have more than this. I'm supposed to tap into more than this, Lord. And I'm reaching. And my brothers and sisters, I say this to you. God says he wants to give you much more. But you got to be serious about it. This is not for the average Christian. This is not for the inconsistent Christian. This is for that committed believer who is willing to push and press into more. Amen?
Amen.
If that's you, say that's me.
That's me.
That's me. That's me. Come on, give God some praise. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands, everybody. Lift your hands. Lift your hands in Jesus' name. I take authority over everything that would try to hinder us from believing you concerning what you said about us. I take authority over every obstacle, every opposition, every obstruction that would try to stand in the way of us boldly going into new territory of glory, new territory of grace, new territory of your goodness, new territory, Father, of your anointing, new territory. You've already revealed some spiritual truths into us, Father. Now pull the scales off of our eyes and cause us to see what we've never seen before. Pull the wax out of our ears and cause us to hear what we've never heard before. Remove the blindness from our minds and cause us to understand like we've never understood before. And then remove the hardness from our hearts and cause us to receive what we never could have received before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we call for boldness to go to the place that you have designated for us to be. I cancel out the assignment of any delay, any detainment, and any deterrence in the name of Jesus. Cause your people to begin seeing themselves moving forward like never before. I speak over their lives, progress, progress, supernatural progress. Come on now, receive this in Jesus' name. I speak over their lives, supernatural progress in the name of Jesus. Change their talk and change their walk. And we'll be so very humble to give you and only you, Lord, all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name. Well, if you receive that, come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. No, praise him like you see yourself being promoted. Praise him like you see yourself progressing. Praise him like you see yourself different.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.